Welcome to this episode of Courier Conversations. Now here's your hosts, Rudy Gray and Todd Deaton.
This is part two of our Courier Conversations episode with Eddie and Dawn Leopard, which aired on January 25th. If you missed part one, please go back and download that episode. Now, we hope you will enjoy the rest of our conversation with the Leopards.
Well, Dawn, I was looking at your Home Base Ministries website. Mm-hmm. You seem to write a lot of advice columns, a lot of articles reflecting on various aspects of the marriage life and family events. What special advice or suggestions do you offer to young couples to help them begin with a strong foundation?
Well, I think for us, our foundation's always been our faith. We went into it, you know, we're the same faith. We're believers in Jesus, have been since, you know, we were young. We were raised that way. And so I think we went into it knowing, like, this is for good. Like, there's no turning back. We've got to make this work. And so, you know, the foundation of faith is an important thing. It's an important place to be. And so when I talk to wives, other than that and their relationship with Jesus, I just try to let them know the importance of husbands being first priority. And I get how hard that is. I was a stay-at-home mom, so I was with kids all day. And so sometimes it was just kind of hard when Eddie would come home at the end of the day to not just jump into parenting him as well, you know, but you've got to keep that relationship separate. And husbands won't feel respected if they're parented. And so we try to talk about that a little bit. And then I think it's important to have a community around you, whether that's a church community, I don't know. But having a community of people who uphold the sanctity of marriage, you know, who are not going to let you get by with bashing your spouse, who are not going to let you get by with saying, oh, I'm just tired of it, I'm going to throw in the towel. That community is extremely important. You know, I think, you know, husbands need a lot of things. Wives need the same. We all need respect. And I think that's just a primary thing. And I think sometimes it's the way we talk to each other and the way we talk about each other. I've been privy to some conversations. I've eavesdropped on a few conversations where there's a lot of spouse bashing going on. And even if the spouse wasn't present, you can be assured that they know how they feel. And so the way we treat one another is of utmost importance. I don't know. It's like sometimes we treat other people so much better than those people who are under our own roof. And, you know, we should treat everybody well, but those people take priority. And I just tell them to, you know, be really quick to deal with your issues. It's a lot easier when you're dealing with it fresh and it's new, then you keep sweeping things under the rug and thinking they'll go away. Eddie and I still struggle with the conflict area. We're both what we deal with this some in our book. We're both kind of turtles. Like, we hate conflict. And so the easiest thing for us to do is just kind of go back into our shell and, you know, not deal with it and think it's going to go away. It never goes away. It always has a way of raising its head. So I would just say, you know, deal with your conflict in a healthy way and deal with it. But also, it's just so much in the way you treat one another in the day-to-day. Like, we go back to this thing of using our manners. And, you know, if Eddie helps me clean the kitchen, you know, me saying thank you is just a normal part of that. It's, you know, and I know that some people are like, well, you know, if he respected me, it's got to start somewhere. It's got to start with someone. So I just like to encourage wives, you know, to take that first step. And I think too, and this will be different too for a lot of people because there's a lot of working moms. But for me being home all day, I think one of the things I just tried to do is to have everything in somewhat of an order when Eddie got home. Like, I was never one of those to say, wait till dad gets home and he's going to deal with this. if I could deal with it, I wanted to deal with it. And then when he would come home, that home could be that safe, quiet, somewhat quiet place. With four kids, it was always, you know, pretty chaotic and loud and stuff. But there wasn't a lot of things left on the table to say, I need you to deal with this after he's been dealing with stuff at work all day. So I think for those who they're both parents are working, you know, you just have to communicate well and talk about what you really need. Now, there were days he walked in and I was like, I just got to have 30 minutes out of the house and just would drop everything and I had to get away. But for the most part, just trying to keep home a safe place for all of us, actually, you know, was really important to me.
Well, looking back, after 40 years of dating and marriage, what do you wish someone had told you at the very start?
Wow, I don't know. I think that we had some people in our life that were really honest with us and really upfront. I was really fortunate. I had both sets of grandparents who were married, you know, till the very end of their lives, had been through a lot. And so I had seen that. They shared their stories a lot of things that they had been through. And so I had that, you know, marriage was forever picture. Now, my parents were struggling greatly in their marriage when we got married, ended up getting a divorce and then remarrying 5 years later. And so we learned a whole lot from that whole situation as well. But I think for me, I've always told people, like, you need people a little bit behind you in the game of life that you are pouring into and you're helping to disciple. You also have people ahead of you in the game of life that you can go to. And I've been really fortunate to have those people. I had a lady before we were ever married when we were dating, and she just lived openly and honestly in front of us. And her husband did as well. Eddie worked for him. But she was just the kind that she would say, you know, before we got married, she would have these conversations with me and she would tell me, like, you know, things are going to be hard. Marriage is hard for everyone. It's not easy. It's not playing house. Like, she would just give me where the rubber meets the road kind of stuff. And she would tell me, like, when things get hard, you can't quit doing it. You just have to keep doing it. And every day's a new day. You start fresh every day. But you just don't give up. And so I think I had that. And that was really good for me. I still have a lady in my life. We've been married this long, and I have a lady who's older than me that I know if I go to her, she's going to speak truth into me. And it might be a hard word said in a gentle way, but I think those people have just been very important in our life.
We were very blessed to have these kinds of people that modeled marriage for us. And as Dawn said, we're very open about the challenges of marriage. I don't think there were a lot of surprises, so to speak. I mean, we read the books. We did all of those things. And this is going to sound like a typical male, but I think one thing that maybe, you know, I wish someone had told me that is that the intimacy in marriage, the sexual aspect of marriage, can be just as good when you're a senior adult as it is when you're starting out. And I don't know that anybody ever said that. I think it was like, hey, that's something that's going to be great when you're young. Then children are going to come and you're not going to have time for that. They're going to leave and you're not going to care about that. And I heard the story one time of the young couple that got married, and they did a little experiment. They put a marble in a jar under the bed every time they were intimate, and they basically filled that jar up in a year. And then after that, the experiment called for them to take a marble out of the jar every time they were intimate, and it took 10 years to empty the jar. And I kind of went in thinking, maybe it's like that, but it's not. That marriage, even after you've been married close to 40 years or more, it can be exciting, it can be vibrant, and I guess that was something going into marriage I thought would, hey, that's going to run its course. But, you know, praise God it happened. So
I think we try to tell couples that it is an important part of marriage. It's an extremely important part of marriage. And you've got to work at that. Like, don't let so much time go between time together. And it's not just the sex itself. It's the connection. I know in some of the hardest times of our marriage, when we've pushed through some of that and still chosen intimacy, it has brought us closer and it's helped. So don't neglect that part of marriage. Don't think that that's, well, you know, now we've been married 10 years or 20 years or whatever, and think that it's still not a very important part, because it is. And I think I have this conversation a lot more with women than he has with men, that, you know, you really, the more you do that, the better it really is. And you'll usually don't regret doing that. I don't know that I've ever really said no. I think I've said wait a few times and, okay, just give me a minute, you know? But it is important. And it's important, you know, when you have kids and it's hard and it's a struggle. It's a struggle when they're teenagers and they're knocking on your door and things like that. But you've got to make time for that for one another.
We hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Want to help support faith-based, family-friendly journalism? This podcast is one of the many ways The Courier is telling the stories of those who tell the story. Become a friend of The Courier. Call 1-888-677-4693 or email editor@baptistcourier.com to learn more.
I won't put you on the spot here, Eddie. I'm a pastor's son, and I know that the demands of a pastor and a congregation on the pastor's family can be really overwhelming at times. And really, well, how did you work that out to kind of keep time for your family?
I made, being intentional, made it a priority. I was told by a number of pastors who were very successful before I went into ministry that, hey, I neglected my family. I had a successful ministry, but in some cases even lost my children. And that just really hit home with me. And I was determined to make that a priority. I have a young man who served on my staff, who's now a very successful pastor, and I was sitting in one of his conferences, and he served on a lot of staffs of very, you know, you would call them successful pastors, and he was going through naming everything he learned, how this pastor mentored him in preaching, this pastor mentored him in pastoral care, this pastor mentored him in leadership. He learned all of these characteristics. And I was sitting there thinking, well, I haven't learned it. He didn't learn anything from me, I guess, but, you know, he served with me as long as he did them. And then he said this, and it meant a lot to me. He said, I learned how to prioritize my family from Eddie. And you know, I said, well, maybe that's one of the most important things. My family, I've always considered, is my first ministry. The most prior, other than Jesus Christ, the next most important relationship is with my wife, then with my children. And there were times that, you know, you had to make those sacrifices. There were times that I couldn't make that ball game or that dance recital or that cheerleading competition, but I made most of them. And I just tried to prioritize that. And it's just a matter of being intentional and doing that because, yes, you know how ministry is. It can be very, very, very demanding. And it's not a 9-to-5. It's 24/7. But you have to be intentional in that.
Well, the book you wrote is a little unusual for most of the books that we publish here at Courier Publishing in the sense that you co-wrote it. You each took turns on different topics, and it was the kind of a he said, she said type of deal, where Eddie would start out and then Dawn would respond, or Dawn would start out and Eddie would add his comments. Why'd you choose that style?
Well, it was honestly the hardest thing I've ever done, but in a way it wasn't so hard. I can't remember what came first, the chicken or the egg. He was doing a sermon series on the family. At the same time, I think we were talking about writing this book. And so I took his sermons and I could write from there, like what he said in the message. And then mine was not somewhat of a response, I guess, or adding to it. So I did have that to go with, but it wasn't like we could sit there and talk back and forth and write it that way. And of course, then he was still, you know, pastoring full time. Like, he didn't have time for that. So we weren't sure about that at first, but we thought we really wanted it to seem like we were just sitting down in a coffee shop at a table with someone and just having a conversation about all of these things, about marriage and life and family that mattered so much to us, and really felt like that would be the most effective way. I wanted men to be able to read it and know that was Eddie speaking into them, not so much me. And so we did that. Man, it was hard, but we also just wanted to be as transparent and as vulnerable as we could be. We had our children do parts of the book. And one of the things that we asked them to do, we wanted their generation to be heard. And they were all, they're all still young and in marriage too. And I told them, you can write anything you want. It can be anything you want it to be about. I will find a way to fit it in. It will fit, I promise. And they all came back with different things, which was amazing, written different ways, which was great. But we just really wanted people to hear from them. And the only rule that I gave them was, you cannot pretty it up. It's got to be real. And that's the hard thing when you write a book, because when you write something like that, my biggest fear was people either think one or two things. They think one, oh, they've got it all together, and so now they're writing a marriage book. That couldn't be further from the truth. We're still working on things, and now we're in this new season of life that we're going to have to work on. And then the other thing is they think, they must think that they have it all together, and I don't think we've ever spent one second of any day thinking that we had arrived. And so making that come true to life on paper was a challenge. And I hope it's effective. I had people actually pray over the book specifically for that, and that it would never come across as judgmental. I think we both understand that family looks very different today. Every family looks different, but we're no longer mom and dad, 2.5 kids and a dog, you know. Marriage looks different. Families look different. And so we wanted people to be able to look at that book and read it and, I don't know, feel a sense of hope, a sense of encouragement, no judgment at all. And so that's what I just continue to pray over for that book.
Well, Dawn's really the writer. It's like I said, she took my sermons and improved on them. Is what I say. She, as you read her blog, she's, you know, such a good writer. But yeah, even in our conferences and retreats, that's one of the things that we want to say. We don't have it all together. We don't have all the answers, and we really didn't want that book to be an instructional manual. Mm. You know, most of us know what to do. We just need to be encouraged to do it and to live it out. And we wanted it to be more inspirational and encouraging. Just like we try to do at our conferences as well. And so, that's kind of it. And that was really Dawn's idea, too, of let's have this book more conversational. And we looked at several different angles. We looked at her writing a chapter, me writing a chapter, whatever. But we just felt, like she said, a lot of people prayed over that. I sent some of the chapters off to some pastor friends, had them read over them and look over them. We didn't want it to sound too churchy. You know, I got some comments back. Well, you know, you quoted a pagan author here. Do you realize that? And I said, well, some of our chapter headings are from the television show The Office. I mean, so but we didn't want it to be so secular. It was tough. So it just came down to praying over, you know, we want this to just to be able to reach people where they're at, and we wanted it to be conversational.
Yeah, I think we just really wanted people to read through it, and at the end of the day, like, even if they just got one little thing out of it to work on, but at the end of the day, they felt like maybe they knew us, that, you know, maybe we could be friends. I like reading things and feeling like I'm getting a little bit of someone's personality and how they would say something. And Eddie's right. We wanted it to be not just something, you know, just for church crowds or church people, but, you know, somebody off the street could just pick up the book and get a little bit of helpful advice from it. I don't know.
Well, speaking of praying, you have a prayer that you often say at, you say at marriage ceremonies to, for couples as they say their vows. How about share a little bit of that prayer, and let's pray over the those who are our listeners today.
All right. Be glad to. There is a prayer that I use in wedding ceremonies, very end of the ceremony, and it's not mine. I don't even know who to give credit to, but it's one that I've seen throughout the years, and I've used this to pray over marriages. And hopefully, you know, people have more focus on their marriage than their wedding. You know, we always tell folks that we don't do a lot of premarital counseling. We've started doing more pre-engagement counseling. I found in pastorate, once a couple's engaged and the ring is bought and the venue is secured, that they're not going to back out, even if you tell them, I don't think you're going to be good for each other. But we've talked to, you know, pre-engagement couples, and yeah, some of them have gone through. Marriage has been great. Others have said, maybe this isn't the right path. But when we get to that ceremony, we just want to pray, you know, we hope it's a great ceremony, but we want to pray over the marriage and pray over the future. So if I could, I'll just pray that prayer now and pray it over all those who are listening, all the couples as well. Let's pray. Lord, may they never take each other's love for granted, but always experience that wonder that exclaims, out of all this world, you have chosen me. And when life is done and the sun is setting, may they be found then, as now, hand in hand, still thanking God for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, thank you both for joining us for Courier Conversations today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed this. And if you'd like to learn more about their book, you can contact Courier Publishing, or if you'd like to maybe have them for a marriage workshop or conference, you can contact them through their website, LeopardHomeBaseMinistries.com.
We're glad you joined us for Courier Conversations, where we are informing and inspiring South Carolina Baptists and beyond. For more information about these topics and more, subscribe to our e-edition or go to our website at BaptistCourier.com. The Courier is located in Greenville, South Carolina, as a multimedia ministry partner of the South Carolina Baptist Convention. To comment about today's podcast, email us at conversations@baptistcourier.com. This podcast produced by Bob Sloan Audio Productions.